The scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 17. Matthew 17, that's on page 1045 in your Bibles. Matthew 17, and we're going to look at the transfiguration of Jesus. And that was a marvelous experience for him and for Peter, James, and John, who were there on the mountain with him. And they were joined by two great patriarchs of the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. By the way, this evening we're going to see Elijah at Mount Carmel, in which he calls the people of Israel to serve the Lord. Now from Matthew 17, I'm going to read that chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them to up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with them. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Arise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." And the disciples asked him, "Then why do the scribes say that first Elijah must come?" And he answered, "Elijah does come, and he will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come." And they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him and, kneeling before him, said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers terribly. For often he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples and they could not heal him." And Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." And as they gathered in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And he will be raised on the third day." And they were greatly distressed. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax went up to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?" And when he said to them, "From others," Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself." So far, the reading of the Word of God. Before we open this passage, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the gospel of salvation, for the gospel full and free, that Jesus was transfigured there on that mountain. And when He came down into the valley, He faced the horror of sickness, the horror of mental illness and demon possession. But Lord, You are able to cure. You are able to heal the sick of body and mind and soul. Bless us now as we look at this together. In Jesus' name, amen. The transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ was a dramatic experience for everyone that was there. It says right here in the text, after 6 days. What happened 6 days earlier than that? Well, what happened 6 days earlier than that is that Jesus was in the region of Caesarea Philippi, which is not far from this mountain where they were for the transfiguration. And in the region of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus said to the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're one of the prophets. You're Jeremiah, or you're one of the other prophets, or you're John the Baptist." And then Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" And then Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father who was in heaven. And I say, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Meaning the confession that Peter made. I will build my church on that confession. And then Jesus said to the disciples, "The Son of Man," that's what He calls Himself, "the Son of Man, I, Jesus," He said, "am going to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. I'm going to be crucified, but on the third day I'm going to rise again." And Peter said, "No way, no way. That's not going to happen to you." And Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are dealing with things of men, but you should be dealing with the things of God." 6 days later, 6 days after that, Jesus took 3 disciples with Him, Peter, James, and John, who were 3 of His closest in that circle of disciples. He took them up a high mountain by themselves. And all of a sudden, Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun in all of its glory. His face shone like that. His clothing became absolutely sparkling white, like new fallen snow. And around Him it was brilliant light, like lightning. And all of a sudden, 2 figures came to Him from heaven. And they were in their bodies. They were human. They had lived before, Moses and Elijah. Moses had died on Mount Nebo, and God buried him, but somehow he was alive now, bodily was alive, because he came to see Jesus. But Elijah went up to heaven in a fiery chariot way back in the days of the Old Testament. And so both Moses and Elijah come out of heaven, come on this mountain, and here we have Peter, James, and John, Moses and Elijah, and Jesus. Moses and Elijah represent the Old Testament church. They represent the covenant people of God, the Israelites. Moses and Elijah represent them. They lived long before. They believed in God. They knew that a Savior was coming who would deliver them from sin. But of course, that hadn't happened yet. The Savior was there, but he hadn't died yet. He hadn't given his life on Calvary. And so that had not yet taken place. So Moses and Elijah have an awful lot at stake here. They had hoped, of course, that their sins would be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ, but here he is, standing there right with them, glorified. Jesus was transfigured before them. It was as if Jesus was exalted. After his resurrection, he ascended into heaven, and John, who's standing there right here, wrote about he had of Jesus walking amid the seven golden candlesticks in Revelation 1, and he sees Jesus, and his face shone like the sun, just as they see right now on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus' face shone like the sun. He was in a glorified state right there. All of a sudden, he was glorified. Remember how in the book of Hebrews it says, God, having of old time spoken unto us by his prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who is the heir of all things, through whom he created the world, who is the radiance of his glory. And that's exactly what they see right here on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. Now, Peter, James, and John hear Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. And what do they talk about? What do they talk about? Well, we're told what they talk about. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all describe the experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. Each one of those writers adds a little bit more about the story. One of them says, Luke tells us what they talked about. What do you think was on the minds of Moses and Elijah as they talked to Jesus? What do you think was on their minds? They had been in heaven. They had been glorified, but the price had not yet been paid for their salvation. Jesus had not yet died. His blood had not yet been shed. And so, what do you think they're concerned about? They're concerned about the fact that the price had to be paid. The death of Jesus had to occur. He had to give his life on the cross as an atonement for our sin. And that hadn't happened yet. And so they talked about his departure, his exodus, his death, which was coming. They talked about that because that was so important. That was the main thing. Because Jesus came to die. He came to give his life. He is the seed of the woman who is to crush the head of the serpent. And that was to take place when he died upon the cross and when he arose again from the dead. And so Moses and Elijah are terribly concerned about that. That that take place. That the price be paid. That they can go back to heaven knowing that that's where they may enjoy eternal life forever and ever because the price has been paid, which hadn't been paid yet. Jesus told the disciples there in Caesarea Philippi, the Son of Man is going, he's going to be betrayed, he's going to be killed, and the third day rise again, but it hadn't happened yet. And Peter was right there. We said, oh, no, we don't want that to happen. And so here they're on the mountain, and Peter says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's stay here. Let's stay here. Let me build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And then one of the gospel writers says he said that because he didn't know what to say. And of course, Peter always had to have something to say. It didn't make a lot of sense what Peter said. How would he build three tabernacles or three tents there? And just as Peter finished talking, all of a sudden a huge cloud came over the mountain. It was the same cloud that led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. It was the same cloud that covered the tabernacle when the people of Israel worshiped. It was the same cloud that received Jesus when he ascended into heaven. It was the cloud of majestic glory. And out of the cloud comes a voice. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Do you know what that was? That was God speaking. Our Heavenly Father was speaking from heaven. He spoke right out of that cloud. The cloud was his presence. And he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. What a rebuke to Peter, who had said earlier when Jesus said he was going to die, oh, no, that's not going to happen to you. And the Father says, this is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. You listen to him. Peter and the rest of us, we all must listen to Jesus. He has the final word. That's exactly what the author of the Hebrews says, God of old time spoke to us by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken with finality by his own Son, by whom he made the worlds, who is the effulgence of his glory, who for our sakes was crucified on the cross, who gave his life a full atonement for our sins, who died upon the cross, and as he died, he said, it is finished, the price is paid. And oh, what a relief it was for Moses and Elijah to know that the price was paid, and for Peter, James, and John to know that the price was paid, and what a blessing for us to know that the price was paid. That there is salvation full and free, so we can sing, O sacred head, now wounded with grief and shame weighed down. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? O, make me thine forever. And should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never, never outlive my love for thee. And so, as Jesus was praying, the cloud was lifted. Moses and Elijah went back to heaven. And the three disciples stood there with Jesus alone. And then Jesus goes down the mountain. He goes down the mountain. He leaves that glorious experience of glory and goes down the mountain. And what does he face? He faces that little boy and his dad. And the boy was possessed of a demon. And the boy had the terrible disease of epilepsy.
And he would cry out, and sometimes he'd be thrown into fire, sometimes into the water. It was a miserable existence for that little boy. And his dad said to Jesus, "We brought him to your disciples thinking that they could help him, but they couldn't help him." And the scribes and the other enemies of Jesus were standing there thinking, "Well, I wonder if he can. The disciples can't. Wonder if Jesus can." And so Jesus said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long will I put up with all of this? Bring the boy to me." And so the dad brought the boy to Jesus. Can you imagine what a relief it was when Jesus showed up? He came from the ivory tower, from the glory of that mountain experience, and he came into the world of woe. He came into the valley, and he healed that boy. You know where Jesus is today? He's certainly in heaven, but you know what? He's also in the valley. We live in the valley. We live in the place where there is sickness, where there is sorrow and death and pain and crying, and where there is murder and robbery and raping and all kinds of trouble, where there is terror into this world, where there is so much misery. Jesus comes into this world and he's got the word of healing. He's got the word of salvation. He has come to give life and give it abundantly. Come to the Savior, all you who wandered far. Come to Jesus. Jesus has the answer. He is the one who has paid the price of sin. He's the one who has redeemed us by his power and by his grace. And he says, "I love you." He loved us so much, he gave his life for us. And he calls us to follow him. He calls us to love him. And so his continual presence is here every single day. Does Jesus care? Does Jesus care? There's a beautiful song, you know, how that goes. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song, as the burdens press and cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread or fear, as the daylight fades into deep dark shades? Does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, does he care, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see? That's the question. And the answer is, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. He came down that mountain. He came into the world of woe. That's where we live. We live in a world of woe. A world of trouble. World of sadness. A world where there is grief. And he comes into this world to bring healing. He brings love where there is hate. He brings healing where there is sickness. He brings peace where there is terror. Jesus is the one who's got the answer. Do you know him? Do you trust in him? The Bible is full of what Jesus is for us. The children sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus Christ is the answer. He came from that mountain of transfiguration into a world of trouble. And He brought peace and healing. He brings reconciliation. He brings joy where there is sorrow. Jesus has the answer. That's the message, really, that the cadets and the gems hear every time they meet. That Jesus has the answer. He is the answer. And oh, may you and I know Him and love Him and serve Him. And everyone said, Amen. Lord, bless this word onto our hearts this morning. We thank You, Lord, that You have come into this world of woe, that You've come with Your great, great message and truth of redemption. Bless us now this day. Keep us in the hollow of Your hand. Forgive all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.